Praise the Lord. Always good to see you. Praise God. Are y'all ready for the word today? Yeah. Amen. I don't know about you, but I've been living and feasting off of last week. I just love what God did because he prepped us in the morning on our call and asking us a question. Who are you? Who are you? And we discovered that we are his ambassador, an ambassador to the king. And then he called us on Sunday night to a life of faithfulness. And I've had text messages and I've seen people posting things online about the impact that last Sunday made on you. And we appreciate your faithfulness. My goodness, we appreciate your faithfulness. Look at this crowd this morning. Most churches go through a summer slump. We call it the summer bump. Come on, somebody. Summer bump. Bump it on up. So we appreciate your faithfulness. That makes a difference. It makes a major difference. So many churches go through difficult times. And even in your giving, I'm amazed at what God is doing through you. Our giving is up. Our attendance is up right here in the middle of the summer. And we're so grateful for that. Our July series, we focused on principles concerning the power of his name is what we're going to be moving on. The power of his name. In June, you know, it's interesting. We spent a month talking about what? The stuff I deal with. And as I was praying and believing God, you know, I did this several months ago. It wasn't a matter of, knowing exactly the general target where we would go. And I was asking God, you know, what do you say after you go through the series of the stuff I deal with? And the Holy Spirit seemed to deposit into my heart that we need to be equipped. You know, last Sunday we had six people receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit. That's an equipping. That's an enabling power. But you shall receive power after what? After that the Holy Ghost has come upon you and you shall be. We get so confused in the church, we really think it's all about do. It's really more about be. Because if you be, guess what? You'll do. Amen? You'll be endued with power from on high. Power for what? Power to point people to his name. Power to point people to him. Power to witness Christ to a lost and a dying world. So I want to drop a few words of encouragement to you in the month of July. Drop it in your spirit, drop it in your heart about the power of God and his arsenal. Somebody say arsenal. And his arsenal, his artillery that he has given to us as believers, as children of God. Because face it, friends, in life you have challenges. As Christians, we have challenges. I posted a quote yesterday from a bishop that I pay attention to quite often, Bishop David Oyedepo. On a foreign land, I listened to him. You know, it's a little hard because of the vernaculars, the sound, and the cultural difference. But I tell you, there's such power that comes out of what he says. And so I believe in giving credit where credit's due. He said, as a believer, it's normal. Look at this. It's normal to be challenged, but unscriptural to be defeated. Did you catch that? It's normal to be challenged. How many of you know it's very normal to be going through some things in your Christian walk? It's normal to be challenged, but it is unscriptural as a believer to experience defeat. You are not called to fail. You are not called to be defeated. You're going to be challenged in your faith. You're going to be oppressed by the devil. You're going to be attacked in your walk. But let me tell you this, you are not called to defeat. Paul said, if God be for us, who can be against us? Say it one more time. If God be for us, who can be against us? He said that in the book of Romans. And in chapter 8, I've extracted just two or three verses from there. He says in Romans 8, verses 37 to 39, look at what he says. No, in all these things, we are what? We are not just conquerors, we are more than conquerors. I want you to think about that vice, that challenge, that thing that's knocking on your door. Whatever it is you're going through, listen, God's not called you to fail. He's not called you to always be under the oppression and the suppression of the evil one. God has called you to victory. He's not called you to defeat. He says, no, in all these things we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. Verse 38, for he says, I am convinced, check this out, that neither death nor life, nor angels nor demons, nor the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else, he's going to cover the whole thing, in all of creation will be able to separate me from what? From the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. Listen, you can go through this life and you can put things, bad relationships, narcotics, substances, alcohol, bad business deals. You can put everything you want to between you and a holy God. You know, he does have a reckless love. He'll never let you down. We've already been singing it this morning. We've been singing the message this morning. Oh, the reckless love of God. He will do anything he can to cause you to walk in victory and not defeat. Amen. He will. He wants you to win. If you're here this morning and you say, man, I wish I could get there. I wish I could get there because I seem like I'm just kind of under the devil's feet all the time. God has not called you to be under the devil's feet. He's under your feet. You know what? He's under your feet. You are to get on top of him and stomp him and beat him down and let him know no weapon formed against me is going to prosper. And every tongue that rises up against me, God will put it to silence. Amen. He'll deal with those issues. God wants you to be victorious. And so I want to help you this month. I want to help you by inspiring you with words of encouragement this month to come to a greater understanding of who he is. A greater understanding of who he is. I challenge you, start paying attention to what you sing. Amen. Don't just say, well, I like that song. I like it because of the lights or I like it because of the beat. Yeah, those are wonderful things. But start paying attention to what you sing. Oh, the overwhelming, reckless love of God. It chases me. Amen. He's willing to do what? To leave the 99 to come after me. No lie he won't tear down. Amen. No wall he won't kick down. Coming after me. He's coming after me. Why? Because he loves me. He has an everlasting love for me. And he wants me to walk in victory and not defeat. Amen. He's God. The indisputable, omnipotent, omniscient, and omnipresent God. That's what I said. He's omnipotent. What does that mean? He means he's all-powerful. He's omniscient. What does that mean? He's all-knowing. The hairs on your head are numbered. Amen? Even if they're shorter. Praise the Lord. Amen. I told the guy, don't take much off the top. The guy got it wrong. Come on. Don't take much off the top. He said, can I take a wee bit off? Check this out. He took my hair off my head. But guess what? I don't have to go back to the barber for a while. He saved me money. Come on, somebody. He's an all-knowing God. The hairs on your head are numbered. Amen. Even the short ones. He was cutting my hair. He said, preacher, you still got a lot of hair on your head. Yeah, before I got in your chair. Amen. He's omniscient. He's an all-knowing God. And guess what? He's an omnipresent God. You can't go anywhere that you won't find the Lord right in the middle of your stuff. David said, though I descend to the lower parts, even to the grave, I find what? He is with me. He's with me. He will never leave me nor forsake me. God is for you. And he wants you to win. He has these attributes, these powerful attributes that guess what? You cannot have these. You're never going to reach the place where you're all-powerful. You're never going to reach the place where you're all-knowing. I know you think you're married to one who does. But you're never going to reach the place where you're all-knowing. And my goodness, we can't get to the place where we're everywhere present. We wish we could. But you're never going to get to that place. These are attributes that you cannot have. They are the attributes of the God who created you. He is creator. You are creation. Come on. And as his creation, there are some attributes that you can have if you remain rooted and grounded in him. Those attributes are found in the fruit of the Spirit. There is love, there's joy, there's peace, there's kindness, there's gentleness, there's goodness, there's faithfulness, and there is self-control. You can have those things. The closer you get to the living God, the more of him that you have, the more of you he has. Come on. Then you will find yourself living out the fruit of the Spirit of God. I want to focus on something so important this morning for the next few minutes. I want to focus on his name. Amen. I think about it many times. I go to Piggly Wiggly once in a while. I love their meat section, and that's because I like neck bones and pigtails and stuff like that. They're the country store in town. And so I like those things, and so I go in there once in a while, and I know when you pick up a Piggly Wiggly bag, you look at that bag, and it's got a pig on it, amen? And it says, the name you know, or the face you trust, the face you know and the name you trust, something like that. But it gives you an indication that you are shopping there because of something that you trust. Amen? And I'm talking this morning about the name of God. Amen. The name of God. You trust His name. Amen? There's nothing any more powerful than His name. We sing the song on our worship team. What a beautiful name it is. What a powerful name it is. The name of who? The name of Jesus. And today we focus on that for a few minutes. Let us look at Exodus chapter 20, verse number 7. It's in the Ten Commandments, long about number 3, I believe, that God gave unto Moses at Mount Sinai. He says this. He says, "You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God." Notice the name, the Lord there is in all caps. We'll reference that momentarily. "You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord," all caps, "will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses His name." I want y'all to hear me, church. The Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses His name. In the message, it says this: "No using the name of God, your God, in curses or silly banter." God won't put up with this irreverent use of His name. He says, no doing it. And we know how important it is to Him because it made it to where? It made it to the Ten Commandments. It made it to the top ten. It made it to those lists of things that are in the very heart of God. And so as you go through these commandments, when you start out number 1, number 2, number 3, and number 4, you look at that relationship that you have between you and God. And then when you continue on in the commandments, He shifts the gears and gives you commandments about your relationship with others. Amen? Read them sometime. I still am an Old Testament commandment kind of believer. Come on, are you? I am, because it's the Word of God. It will always be the Word of God. Somebody said, well, we're in the New Covenant now. Guess what? If it's not redefined in the New Covenant, you rely on the old. Amen? Sometimes Jesus redefined things in the New Covenant. For example, adultery. In the Old Covenant, when you committed adultery, it was a physical act with you and someone else outside of your marriage covenant. But in the New Testament, somebody say New Testament. New Testament. You can commit adultery and do it right in your head. You can commit adultery on your phone. Okay? Because Jesus said, when you look upon a woman with lust in your heart, desiring to have her, what have you done? You've committed adultery already. And so we're talking about this very important principle here, this very important commandment here. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. Names are important. Names are powerful. Names are indicative at times. In fact, there was a man by the name of Paul Dickinson. He wrote a book several years ago called Names. Dickinson had a hobby of collecting strange names, collecting unique names. And he said in this book, he said, we must be careful because names can be prophetic. Names can tell you where you're going. And he says, he cited a couple of interesting ones. In 1941, there was a man who was sentenced to die in the electric chair. You know what his name was? Will Burns. Come on now. Interesting book. I had to put it down after a while. I don't need to be reading this. There's also a man who was a professional window washer in a major city in the United States, fell to his death from the ledge of a huge building. His name was Will Drop. Amen. Come on. Dickinson goes on to cite others that were interesting, like the name of a baseball coach. His name was Joe Bunt. Okay. Amen. A man named Dan Druff was a master barber, worked in a barbershop. Dan Druff. Come on, somebody say Head and Shoulders. We may laugh a bit about these names, but listen, you need to be serious about what you name your child. You don't just need to like that name or be fond of that name. You need to ask God. You know, we prayed about what shall we name our kids. I remember where God spoke to me in Askewville Assembly of God Church, sitting in a worship service. And I knew because I knew because I knew that we were to name that little girl Abigail. And her name means a father's joy. And she has become every bit of that, a father's joy. Abigail, many other titles and names attached to her name. But we have to be careful what we name our kids. We laugh a little bit about these things. But names were very important in the Bible. Names were what? They were an indication of character. And that's why the Bible here is clear. That's why it tells us in this Ten Commandments, it tells us in Exodus 20, verse 7, you shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. Why? Why is God so sensitive about his name? Because he says your name represents three things. Your name represents your reputation. Your name represents your character. And your name represents your authority. You've heard people say, we talk about reputation for a moment. You've heard people say, well, you know, he's making a name for himself. You've heard people say that in a positive way. Man, he's getting out there. He's really making quite a name for himself. When someone has a good reputation, you say they what? They have a good name. When they have a bad reputation, you say what? They have a bad name. And you and I can conjure up thoughts, even emotions, just when we mention someone's name. Let's try it. Adolf Hitler. Charles Manson. Let's try it again. Dr. Billy Graham. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. See? See, there's a difference. It even triggers something in your mind. It triggers something in your thought life because you're attached the name to the person and you attach the reputation, the character, and the authority to the person. Then there are times in our lives when God changes the names of those people in the Bible. We look at the biblical stories. When a man was given a new name, remember Abram was changed to Abraham. Remember, Jacob became Israel. And there are reasons behind all these things. Remember, Simon becomes Peter. Name was an indication of character. Name represents authority. When you meet a car coming head on, I've learned what to look for here. They're kind of silver in color most often. And they have words across the front. North Carolina Highway Patrol. And so what happens when you meet one of those things because of the what? Not because of the reputation, not because of the character, but because of the authority. Automatically you stop, you back up. Sometimes you just have reflexive action and you back off the gas, even if you were going the speed limit like I know all of you do. And you say, oh, that's Officer Jones. Well, when you say Officer Jones, there's something happens in your thinking. Why? Because authority comes to mind. You know, you think about these things. How about this? Judge Kwashipi. Oh, wow. Some of y'all been in his courtroom? Raise your hand if you were charged and found guilty. Come on, somebody. Man, when I said that, you said, whoa, why? Because that man didn't put up with any junk. You didn't come into his courtroom with saggy pants and shades or your hat turned around backwards. Take it off, go out, silence your cell phone, get out of my courtroom. Why? Because of his authority. How about this? Chief Fitzhugh. See, just the name. Because he's at the top of our police force here in this city. And so when we think about name, it represents our reputation, it represents our character, and it represents our authority. So let me remind you that this is what God is saying about his name. When you hear his name, he wants you to be reminded of his reputation. He wants you to be reminded of his character. And he wants you to be reminded of his authority. He's God. There's so many ways that people misuse God's name. First of all, people use God's name to insult. This is usually when they attach it to profanity. I got cussed out this week. I've been cussed out plenty of times in my life. I got cussed out this week real good. You say, well, how, Pastor? None of your business. I'm doing the work of the ministry, okay? I got cussed out. That's all right. I've been cussed out. I've had a knife drawn at me. I've been in the presence of a person who had a gun, and I felt like they might want to use it. Why? Because of the ministry. But sometimes people talk nasty. And they misuse God's name. Usually they will use profanity when they're trying to insult. Let's face it, friends. America cusses. Come on now. Can I keep it real with y'all this morning? America cusses. America is a profane nation. It is a swearing nation. And they do so in the context many times of expressing their irritations. Today, a movie don't sell if it don't have profanity in it. And sometimes if you ever watched a movie and thought, why did they have to put all that in there? It was a great storyline, but then it's got all this profanity. People don't pack out the theater to a G-rated movie. People flock to the R-rated movie that's filled with language and other obscenities. Magazines and TV today are filled with profanity. Even on Facebook, sometimes you look at the threads and say, how in the world did this get here? Because that's the kind of nation that we are. Even video games, if your kids play video games are rated today. They're rated because of violence. They're rated because of nudity. And we just buy the game in many cases as a parent and just turn the kids loose on it. You better look at what your kids are playing with. Because they're allowing these things to go through the windows of their soul. And the most well-known garbage mouths in our society are on Comedy Central. Stand-up comedians with filthy mouths. And while they're doing it, people pack out these places and laugh up a storm. Just laugh because, in fact, the more vulgar, the more laughter. People will even respond, stand up, and just wave their hand just like they're in a Pentecostal worship service or something. Amen? They'll do that because they're listening to this profanity and it becomes entertainment to them. And have you noticed how we compare things in our society? Somebody will say this, man, it's been hot as hell. Why do we say that? They say, did y'all get rain yesterday? Man, it rained like hell at our place. Why do we say that? Why do we have to choose to describe or be descriptive about something God created to bless our land and then say it rained like hell? We say to somebody they were as mad as hell. We do all this ascribing of words, and we do it. Why do we do it? I'll tell you why we do it. We do it because we lack emotional control. We talked a moment ago about the fruit of the Spirit. We do it because the fruit of the Spirit of God is not growing and blossoming in our lives. And so we don't have control of our mouth. You ever read the book of James where James talks about what a tremendous responsibility it is for a man to control his mouth? He said, behold, we put bits in horses' mouths and turn their whole body. He said, isn't it amazing that you can take a ship, a big old ship, and a little rudder out the back will control the way it goes, but you can't control your mouth. It's so true. So true. Why do people swear? Why do people cuss? They do it oftentimes to impress other people. But it takes maturity. Hear me, beloved. It takes maturity to discipline your mouth. It takes maturity to control your speech, especially when you get angry or when you stump your toe or hit your thumb with a hammer. Or maybe somebody cuts you off in the line of traffic. And you try to cuss her out only to get beside him and find out it wasn't a her to start with. It was a him. But you have to control your mouth. And listen, you have to understand that. You have to understand that God is calling you to that place where he wants to get in control of your life. He wants to get in control of your mouth. He wants to get in control of every part of your being. You're led by the Spirit of God. People use God's names to insult. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29, it says this. It says, do not let unwholesome talk come out of your mouth. Paul is talking to believers. He's talking to Christians. He says, do not let unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only, somebody say only. Only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, comma, so that what? That it may benefit those who listen. Let things come out of your mouth that are wholesome, that are beneficial to building other people up. And have you noticed how we compare things in our society? People will say those things and they'll attach or ascribe profanity to it. It's amazing. Why do people swear? Why do they cuss? They lack control. They lack control. Secondly, people use God's name to try to impress other people. You know, I don't know if you can or not, but I can remember back in my life as a kid when that first cuss word came from my mouth. How many of you guys know what I'm talking about? Remember when you said that first cuss word, or you started to just kind of broaden your shoulders a little bit and show the society, you're a man. You start to use them four-letter left-handed words, you know. And they come from your mouth, and it made you, be honest, it made you feel like you were just bad news. See? Because you thought you were big stuff because you could cuss a little bit. You know, my cousin stood here in the pulpit last week, and he prayed for his grandfather, who's in his 80s, and he's my uncle. And my uncle, you can't get around him. I promise you, you can't get around him. That every other word that comes out of his mouth is a cuss word. In fact, I've said the same thing about my uncle that I would say about a lot of people. He cusses so much, I don't even think he knows he's doing it. Come on, how many of y'all know people like that? They cuss so much, they don't even realize they're doing it. It's a part of their vernacular. It's a part of their vocabulary. They don't know how to talk without it. People say things to try to impress other people. And then sometimes people will even shift and they'll use God's name to try to impress other people. They'll do it. They say, oh, pastor, glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. What a great sermon. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And I say, get a life. Come on. Get a life. Slow down. Or have you ever heard somebody pray, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord God, we thank you, Father, for this beautiful day, Lord God. Is that all you can say? Can't you just talk to God? I've heard people do it. Father, we just bless you, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Father God, for moving by your Holy Spirit, Lord God. Thank you, Father. That's not prayer. That's telling me you don't know how to talk to God. Come on, it's getting quiet up in here. Amen. I asked you, could I keep it real? You said yes. Right. Now what you looking at me like that for? Because you know people who pray that way. Maybe you're one of them. Learn how to talk to God. You say, well, how do you do that? Just like you're talking to your very, very, very best friend. You open your heart. You open your heart and you reveal the issues of your heart, because guess what? He already knows your heart anyway. Amen. You talk to God like you talk to anybody else. And we don't need to use this jargon to try to impress people. In other words, we're calling on his name, but we're more concerned about impressing others. I've been in small groups before where I called on somebody to pray, and I tell you one thing, I never call on them again, because I discovered they don't have a relationship enough with God to know how to talk to him, much less in publicly. But how about their private life? You listen, God never displays anything in public that he hasn't already seen you do in private. Can I say that one more time? God will never, think about it, ministers. Don't expect the anointing of the Holy Spirit to show up on you publicly if you're not spending time with God privately. He's not obligated to anoint you. He's not. And you must have a private life that centers in on the goodness of God, the name of God, the power of God, the character of God, and everything attached to his name. We need to be careful. In fact, in the Old Testament, Mark chapter 7, verse 6. Isaiah was right, Mark records here, when he prophesied about you hypocrites, as it is written, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. So you can have lip service. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You can have lip service. You can spout off all the little churchy terms and all of the little phraseology and the cliches, but there may not be relationship there. And God wants relationship. In fact, in the Old Testament, they would not even speak the name of God, Yahweh. You say, I never heard that before. But you've not done a whole lot of Bible study then. Yahweh is his name. Y-A-H-W-E-H. Yahweh. They wouldn't even pronounce that. Instead, everywhere in the Bible that you see, I called it out to you a moment ago, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. They would put that in there and they would call his name Adonai, which means what? Lord. They wouldn't call his name because it was so holy, so sacred, they wouldn't even utter it from their lips. Thirdly, people use God's name impulsively. This is one that's become a habit in a lot of us, and we fall into the trap of using God's name on impulse. Jesus Christ, look at the size of that fish. We're catching a fish, and he's big, and we holler out, Jesus Christ, look at the size of this thing. Or how about this one? Oh, my God, she's pregnant again. Husband fixing to get slapped. Lord, have mercy on your child. You better clean this mess up in your room. Why are we pulling God into our impulsive behaviors and using his name as some blatant filler word? Come on, I'm talking to the church. I'm talking to Christians. I'm talking to people who are supposed to know him better than anyone else knows him. And if you really know him, you will respect his name. Because when you do, you're respecting his authority, his character, and his reputation. Or how about this one? God knows. Would you please stop texting me? What you're doing is you're literally cussing with a language that you approve of. Y'all getting quiet on me now. Come on. What you're doing is you're using profanity that you approve of. using profanity that you approve of. You think it's okay. You know, and we do it casually. We've done it all of our lives. Man, scared the heck out of me. What are we using heck for? We're using heck because we don't want to use hell. Okay. Oh my gosh. We're using gosh so we don't have to say God. Dagon. We say dagon or dagnabbit so we don't have to say GD. See, you just want to get somewhere out there in the middle and be a little cloudy because you really don't want to be guilty of calling his name wrong, disrespecting his name. And so you've got some things that you lean on to make it suitable for you. And me. Studies have shown that, in a recent study, 69% of Christians misuse the name of God. Did you hear what I said? 69% of Christians admittedly misuse God's name in a recent survey. And some of them may be asking this morning, why is he talking about this? Listen, I told you that I was going to equip you with some powerful things, some powerful principles that will help you. The stuff I deal with is behind you. Now you want to understand the power of his name and how you can better deal with the issues in your life, better walk in the authority that God has given you. You must have a divine relationship with him, and his name has to be something that you adore. His name has to be something that demands your divine attention. And his name must be someone's name that you wholeheartedly respect. That's why Pastor Joy and I, when we're watching television sometime, which is rare. See, sometimes she'll say, you know, we get beyond the normal. We're at a point in life where this is the way it goes. You know, you get news at 6, you get world news at 6:30. Then all of a sudden you get that anointed show called Wheel of Fortune. Come on, anybody else watch TV besides me? And on channel 13, if you stay right there after Wheel of Fortune's over with, you might be able to answer one or two questions on the next show because it's Jeopardy. Come on, somebody. And after that, we're looking for something. She says, grab a movie. Can you look up something on Netflix? Sometimes we have to make 4 or 5 choices, 3, 5, 7, 9 minutes into it, and we have to turn it off. Why? Because we are called by God to reverence his name, and I'm not going to sit there and watch a movie where God's name is defamed right in front of me and going into my ears. I'm a child of the living God. I'm going to respect him even in the privacy of my home when no one else is watching. Except us. See, a lot of times, if we're not careful, we become too tolerant. But let me tell you something. Hear me if you don't hear me say anything else. It was important enough to God to make it the third on his list of commandments. And this is what he said. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. I mean, I hear it all the time. You go to the supermarket, go to Jesus. People just using it as a negative slur and you know, and something that releases pressure off of them. We just do it, and we do it out of habit. We do it because our society, come on, church, our society has taught us how to use the name of God rather than the Word of God teaching us how to use the name of God. Y'all need to clap or something. Come on, somebody. I'm standing here telling you the truth the best I know how. It's the truth. And there's probably not a one of us in this room that don't need a bell ringing wake up call to say, you know what? I need to pay attention to how I use God's name. It's really important. And God promises blessing. Somebody say blessing. God promises blessing when we use his name correctly. I challenge you to do a study. Go through the Bible. There are literally hundreds of verses in the Bible that talk about his name and the power of his name. And there are verses that promise if you honor and reverence his name, he will bless you with success and prosperity and health and peace of mind and good relationships and on and on and on. There are incredible blessings ahead for those who honor the Lord's name. He wants us to reverence him continually and treat his name with the utmost of respect. See? And can I just tell you something? The church has become today, in the church of the 21st century, has become a little lazy in the treatment of God's house. Amen. Come on, Pastor. Come on, I'm just being honest with you. We become a little lazy. We become a little lazy because we don't have the level of respect for God's house that we should. We don't have the level of respect for God's name. We don't have the level of respect for the day of worship that we proclaim, the day of worship. We really don't. It's just the truth. Amen. And you know what I've discovered? I've discovered about millennials. People are telling me all the time, and I'm saying, you know, God, I don't understand why, but our church is attracting people from that millennial group, younger people, 20s, 30s, 40s. We're attracting younger people. And what I've discovered about this younger generation is, you know what they want, Pastor David? They want the truth. They're tired of a facade. They're tired of a half-truth. They want the absolute truth. You don't have to beat people over the head with truth. You can preach the truth in the love of God and the power of His Spirit. And it's up to the Holy Spirit to take that word and bring the necessary conviction to call us to a place of repentance. You don't hear much about repentance anymore. Repentance is a change of mind so that you were going this direction, but you've decided by the power of the Spirit to reverse and go a totally different direction. And that's what God's looking for. I said earlier in the message, I want to drop a few messages on you in the month of July. You say, well, I wish I could live up above the pressures and the oppression and the satanic things that are happening in my life. If you journey with me in the month of July, I'll give you some tools in your arsenal to cause you to live a more victorious life when you learn about His name. Richard, if you would come, you're in the worship team. Just come on, worship team. Come on with him. I believe God's going to meet us here this morning. You have this powerful name of Jesus. Don't abuse it. Don't misuse it. And as you come to know the Lord, as you come to know His word, you'll discover that there are over 100 names for God in the Bible. And each one of them reveals, I laid the foundation for you earlier, each one of them reveals God's character, God's nature. Each one of them is attached to God's authority. And as you get to go know God's name, you'll get to know Him. And you'll get to know Him better and better. He's Alpha. He's a bridegroom. He's a consuming fire. He's deliverer. He's our everlasting Father. He's the faithful and the true. He's the good shepherd, the high priest, the I Am. His name is Jealous. He's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's Messiah. He's the Nazarene. He's the Omega. He's the Potter. He's the Rose of Sharon. He's the Savior, the truth. He's the Vine. Isaiah called Him Wonderful. Come on. His name is Yahweh. Revelation says, chapter 11, verse 18, says that the blessings of God are reserved. Somebody say reserved. The blessings of God are reserved. Come on now, if this one don't get you, this one ought to be the cherry on the top right here. The blessings of God are reserved for those who reverence His name. I promise you, if you will come to God with holy conviction and you will clean up your actions, your misuse of God's name, I promise you, you'll see a marked difference in the presence of God that you feel on your life. I promise you, you will see a marked difference in the blessings of God that begin to flow in your life. Because you honor His name. You know, this don't even have anything to do with it, but I go to events sometime, and you know, the very first thing, the ball game or whatever it is, the very first thing they're going to do is sing a national anthem. And if people can stand the national anthem and have a ball cap on their head or something like that and stand there, just stand there like that. No. When that, listen, God shed his grace on this nation. And this nation must get back to a holy reverence for his name. And a part of that is to not be ashamed to stand and put your hand on your heart. Take your hat off and reverence him. And say, God, thank you for America. Isn't it a shame that this past week, this weekend, there were more people that saw it as an idea for them to get a couple of extra days off, buy a couple of extra cases of beer, spend $150, $200, $300 on fireworks, boom, 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 like you couldn't just go outside and enjoy somebody else's. I mean, they were doing fireworks at our house 3 days before the 4th. I'm sitting there and I, boom! I said, it ain't the 4th! Okay? Why don't you wait? Okay? And maybe I'll discover that. They're blowing fireworks on the 2nd, the 3rd. You know, it tells me, you know what? It tells me they don't even understand why they bought them to start with. Wait till the 4th, man. Wait till the day. Wait till the finale. And when you flippantly toss God's name out, Jesus Christ, it tells me that you also have lost the reality of the meaning, of the reputation, of the character, of the authority of his name. I'm praying for you, Carpenter Shop International Church. You say, well, I wonder why pastor's going down these trails. Because as I get before a holy God and I'm crying out for revival, you know what I'm hearing the Lord say? God says, I got to get the church straight first. Okay? I got to get the church straight first. Because listen, you pray for revival, you can call an evangelist, and we're bringing an evangelist in who is, man, he's burning it up out there in the United States. Seeing hundreds saved, come to Jesus, drug addiction destroyed, alcoholism destroyed, marriages put back together, seeing God do incredible, incredible things night after night in his meetings. But if you do a little research on him, you'll find that he's been through a season of his life where it's all about falling on his face and letting God do an incredible work of repentance and conviction in his own life. This church will never exceed, never surpass the level of spirituality of its leadership. So if I'm lukewarm, guess what? You're going to be lukewarm. If I'm half-hearted, guess what? You're going to be half-hearted. If I'm disrespectful of God's name, then guess what you're going to be? Disrespectful of God's name. But if I'm responding to repentance and conviction in the Holy Spirit and God's getting a hold of my heart and I'm broken before him, guess what you can be too? When you get in his presence, you can't help but feel the presence of God and respond to a holy God who calls you also to a place of repentance. It blesses my heart, the prayers that are taking place every week in this church. People are praying. I'm here at the church more now than I've ever been in the last several years. It's nothing for me to be at this church. Shaquem Salisbury come through the door wide open, running, man. Said, can I help you, Shaquem? No, I'm just going to pray, bro. Make his way right back to the prayer room, room 104. Stay back there half an hour on his knees calling out to God. Thursday morning, women, Mother Virginia Gatlin, faithfully comes in here on Thursday mornings. Women come with her. Get alone with God. Go into the prayer room and seek God. What are they praying for? They're praying for God's blessing. They're praying for God's redemptive power to get a hold of the people in this church, in this community. They're praying for conviction and repentance and the blood of Jesus to be lifted up and his name be exalted. I've stood at the door sometime and I hear my name several times. I hear Pastor Joy's name. I hear the names of my kids. Calling out the pastor's name. Let me tell you what that is. That's a prescription for divine visitation of the Holy Ghost upon your church. We need a revival. And revival is not in Jonathan Shuttlesworth. Revival is not in a great message or the latest preacher who passes through the region. Revival's in a heart that's willing to say, God's doing something to me. Can I do some business with God? Pastor Randy called me last night. Hey, is it okay? Mitt and I over here in a husky. You mind if we just slide into the church and spend some time in prayer? Man, I hung the phone up and I thought, wow, God, you're doing this thing. You're speaking to the people. You can call scheduled prayer meetings and you may not have but a handful show up. But when God begins to speak to his people and he calls you to prayer unannounced, then you can lift up your eyes and look on the horizon, because the move of the Holy Spirit is on the way. And some of you need to get ready. There's a move of God coming that will shake up your theology. There's a move of God that's coming. You say, well, I don't know. I ain't never seen anything like that before. We didn't do that in the Methodist church. That's all right. If you go back in the history of the Methodist church, you will find a solidly Pentecostal, Spirit-filled, empowered church that when John Wesley preached, he said this. He said, if you get on fire, people will come out and watch you burn. He was a Methodist. And if you trace the roots back far enough, you say, well, I'm a part of an Assemblies of God church. If you trace our roots back, you know what we came out of? Methodism. We came out of the Methodist church. God wants to move. And this morning he wants to move in your heart as you say to him, Father, please forgive me for misusing your name. I wonder if we could just come around this altar this morning and stand in his name. And just stand in his presence and just let him move among you. I wonder, could we do that? Could we just come and stand in his name, in his presence? Just call on his name. Go ahead, sing it. Come on, let the Holy Ghost just speak to your heart today. Sorry. hands and your voices, lift up your hearts. Father, in the name of Jesus, mighty and strong, we come before you today. Father, we ask you, God, to forgive us. Forgive us for misusing your name. Forgive us, God, for flippantly speaking your name. Forgive us, God, for using your name to impress other people. Forgive us, God, for speaking out in anger and frustration, Lord, and attaching your name to the things that we say. Forgive us, Lord. Father, we want to be a people who are blessed by your name. We want to be a people, God, who call your name with authority and character and reputation flowing out of our hearts, God. And Lord, we want to be recipients of your promise and revelation. And those who honor your name have reserved blessings awaiting them. In Jesus' strong name.